Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Daylight diffused, peaceful and welcoming gloom, the scent of oil and cut timber hangs in the room. Focused and calm, at a solid and age-worn oak bench, shuttle the arms of a craftsman, quietly content.
What is the value of craft in our industrialized and increasingly digitized world? According to the new book, Why We Make Things and Why It Matters, furniture maker Peter Korn believes hands-on creative work is transformative for the individual and advances society as a whole. In the book, he has dialogue with writers and thinkers on these very topics. He explores the nature and rewards of craft and other creative arts. Inspiring and instructive, Korn voices the sense of meaning and fulfillment that we discover through following our creative passions. It's a pleasure to welcome Peter Korn to the Roundtable.
It's a pleasure to be here.
What brought you to this topic and wanting to talk to writers and thinkers about this issue of it is important to make things?
Well, I've been a furniture maker for 40 years and also a person who teaches furniture making. And I got into it as a child of the 60s, really with the question, what is the nature of a good life? And then as a craftsman, I sort of had to think about what is the nature and meaning of art. And I wrote the book to explore those questions for myself and hopefully come up with some ways of explaining what I value about craft and about being creative that would be of value to other people.
In your mind, what is the state of craft as we speak?
The craft movement to which I belong, which is called the studio craft movement, was very specific to the second half of the 20th century and is something like all art historical movements that is now disappearing. But the state of craft is incredibly healthy in the sense that as our world becomes more virtual, people seem hungrier and hungrier for that very basic experience of making something with your own hands out of real material, and craft itself is booming.
And when you say booming, is it for the individual who is making it or for the person who is buying it or both?
I think for the person who's making it. Craft is certainly not hasn't been able to compete with industrial production for hundreds of years. So it's a difficult way to make a living. But as something one does for personal satisfaction or as something that provides one with a reasonable income for a modest lifestyle but a very rich life, craft can be a wonderful thing.
So when it comes to this work, craft and creative work in general, what makes it so rewarding?
I think it's rewarding on several levels. And most basically, anyone who's engaged in any form of craft will tell you that once they gain some skills, there is this incredible thing that happens when you're in your workshop or where it's called flow, and you yourself disappear. And in this way that's hard to explain to anyone, you become one with the work. It's a wonderful feeling of selflessness and purpose and accomplishment when you're in that state. So that's one of the values of craft. But beyond that, I think it's a way that we find meaning and fulfillment in life that we don't find through most of the ordinary activities of life.
How much creative license do you have with something that is functional? In the sense, if you're making a chair, if you're making a table, how much of it is allowing yourself to put an artistic stamp on that?
Well, let me ask you, how much artistic license would one have writing a sonnet or, you know, anything? Most works of art happen within some constraints, and that's actually generally regarded as something advantageous by the artist.
Right, but there was a reason I used the word functionality. I mean, there's a functionality because you need it to be a table.
Right, and then so the challenge is to design something within the constraints of making it as functional as possible that's still beautiful and expressive of a point of view, and there's endless opportunity for that. That is the, I mean, design is, for me, design became the aspect of craft that was the most challenging and rewarding in the long term once I figured out that I could learn how to make most anything.
When you learn that and you come to that realization that you can make most anything, how do you feel you have put your stamp on it? What do you feel is your unique mark?
The answer to that is I take tremendous satisfaction in designing a piece and building it. And I think that that's true of people in all creative fields. I mean, it's the bringing something new into the world that's never existed before that is a really important part of the satisfaction. But I will also say that even if I'm making something I've made before, the pleasure in just doing it well and skillfully is itself another sort of reward. So craft is rewarding, and creative work in general is rewarding on a number of different levels.
You wanted to talk to many others about this issue. What were you looking for, and what questions did you want answered?
Well, I feel one of the things that disturbs me as a person who's been involved in the arts for 40 years is that in our society, there's very little in mainstream society that gives us good yardsticks for valuing and understanding what we do. And we live in a society where we tend to measure the value and success of things according to only two things, which is money and fame. And that totally describes, for example, how things are measured at the pinnacle of the art world. But there is so much more to life than money and fame, and they don't even begin to describe the sort of meaning and fulfillment that one can get through creative work, or, well, they just don't describe the reasons we engage in it or what we get out of it.
What entices you into a project? I mean, how do you, is it necessity or is it a vision? What brings you to a particular project?
Well, I should first say that in my own trajectory, I was a self-employed furniture maker for 12 years, and then I was a program director at an art center making furniture but also teaching for a while. And then for the last 20-something years, I've run the Center for Furniture Craftsmanship, which is a school in Maine. So my own creative work is not that much. I make a few pieces of furniture a year, but I also write and I also build a school. And those are the three aspects of my own creative life now. What entices me into furniture making today is to be able to make something for myself or someone I love that will be lasting and enhance their life. What drew me into it as a young man was really a very definite effort to create myself, to create an identity as a furniture maker, to find some useful way to inhabit my adulthood.
So let's go back to your earlier point about how should a creative person measure success then?
When I was a young man writing artist statements for artist galleries, I wrote that I was trying to create furniture that had the qualities of integrity and simplicity and grace. And that has always defined my own design values. 10 years later, writing an artist statement for a different purpose, I realized that the reason I had become a furniture maker in the first place was that I imagined that learning this craft and practicing it would cultivate more of the qualities of integrity and grace in myself. And so it was very clear to me that for me, furniture making was a way to find out who I might become and to become that. And I don't think every person follows those same things. Not everyone's looking for integrity, simplicity, and grace. But I think that that every creative person goes into the studio primarily because they expect to emerge from the creative process somehow being different or feeling different or understanding the world differently. And so creative work is self-transformational.
So there is a philosophical nature of this to you.
Absolutely. I think that we, each of us, perceives the world through a set of beliefs and ideas. And when you set out to do something that's never happened before, to bring something new into the world, you get new information that can't help but change your ideas about things.
I know we've talked a lot in this program about this very subject, and you talked about your recent work as an educator and teaching people how to do this. How can you teach, and do you believe you can teach creativity?
Oh, absolutely. We have 400 students a year come through our school, and our curriculum is even in the basic course, which I teach five times a year, a basic two-week woodworking course, we get every student to design their project. And we have found that anyone and everyone can learn to come up with an idea and bring it into reality, which is what design and creativity are. Now, are some people more gifted at that than others? You betcha. But everyone can do it, and everyone has the possibility to do something wonderful once in a while.
Again, the title of the book is Why We Make Things and Why It Matters. It is published by David Godin and Peter Korn. It's a pleasure to have you aboard. Thank you very much for being with us and sharing your expertise.
It has been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Why We Make Things and Why It Matters. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.